God is definitely doing something in our midst, in different areas. We have been going through this series on honor, and today we want to end with that. And I've been thinking, how do we end an honor series? Because there's so much to talk about honoring. All right, there's just, you know, so many things to talk about. And so the Lord led me to an example. And so we're gonna look at this guy and say, God help me to live that out. You know, we've talked about honoring God, we've talked about honoring leaders, we talked about honoring parents, we talked about honoring one another. And today we're gonna talk about a life of honor. How do we live that life? I've picked Daniel to be an example, and you know, to draw some key lessons from this guy. So let's turn to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And the background of this is the Israelites are in exile right now. They are in Babylonian captivity. And chapter 1 begins with the story of Daniel and what happened to him. And so verse 1. Are we there? Okay. Let's read from verse 1 until verse 7 all together as a church, alright? Ready? 1, 2, go. In the third year of the reign of Joachim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Joachim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasurer house of his God. Then the king ordered chief of his court officials to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names: to Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Alright, let's stop there. This is the background of what had happened. These guys, it's important to understand that these guys were a class, quote unquote, above their peers. They were, the Bible tells us, they were handsome. New Year, handsome, yeah. Okay, some hands raised up, very good. So they were handsome, and it says here, men without physical defect, alright, showing aptitude of every kind of learning, well-informed, and quick to understand. They were qualified, okay? So they had a certain level of qualification to be able to serve in the king's palace. Now, if you think of that, you think of, you know, ourselves today, and we ask ourselves, you know, given the situation, would I be qualified? No need to answer. And sometimes, you know, we look down on who God has made us to be. You know? But here, these men, they were a class above their peers, and they were chosen. And what had happened is this, let's understand this, they were taken, they were set aside. You know, they were set apart to be trained in the ways of Babylon. They were set apart and they were to be taught for 3 years, the Bible says. 3 years. And after 3 years, then they are to be presented to the king and to serve in the king's service. Now, not everybody who goes through this training gets selected in the king's service at the end of the day. But because they were in exile, no choice. You know, they had to go through this train. They were in captivity anyway. And, you know, we have read this passage many, many times, and this verse many times. Verse 8 says this, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. Now, in the midst of being set apart to be trained, they were also given the best food. The choice food from the king's table, the Bible tells us. Alright? So the food is actually, you know, the ones that the king ate. So they're good stuff. So you can imagine, I'm sure, you know, people like Kai Sheng will start, you know, imagining, the Sio Ba and the Sio Tu and the Tu Ka and, you know, all the, you know what I'm talking about, right? The good stuff. But, you know, in those days, of course, they were forbidden to take all that. And these were possibly food that had already been offered to idols, to the Babylonian gods. And so Daniel said, I'm not going to take that. I'm not going to defile myself. And what did he do? He asked permission. Okay? But before he does that, verse 8 tells us, but Daniel resolved, or in some versions it says, but Daniel made up his mind. He made up his mind not to partake of that food, not to defile himself. He chose to honor God even in that situation. Now you picture this, Daniel is in captivity. Okay, he's not in a situation whereby this is in his confines and his comfort of his home. Okay, he is in captivity. And he has been chosen, selected because, you know, of the skills that he had to come and serve the king. A lot of pressure. A lot of stress. You can imagine all that pressure coming down on him. But yet, in the midst of all that, he said this, I want to honor God. I want to honor God. We live in a world whereby very often similar circumstances may arise. Maybe in your office. For some, maybe in the family. You know, and we have unbelievers, extended family. Whether it's school, work, family, whatever situation that we are in, there may arise whereby we can encounter similar circumstances. Whereby there are a certain amount of pressure. Hey, you have been chosen, you know. Pressure to conform. Pressure to just follow. If not outcast, maybe. If not talked about, maybe. And it's not uncommon that we find ourselves in this situation. Now, obviously, we are not going to be, I don't think we are, exiled. You know, taken over by somebody else and said, you know, maybe that time will come. But, you know, very often we look at this passage and we say, hey, that's not me. We are not in that situation. But think of it as wherever you are right now. Similar situations can arise. And if we are honest with ourselves, perhaps they have already arisen in different parts and different sectors of our life. But the lesson that we can learn, the first thing that Daniel says as he opens his mouth, Daniel chapter 1, and the first thing that we hear him say is this. I don't eat the food and defile myself. He decided to honor God in that situation. To make a decision to stand up. But at the same time, He respected the authorities. You know, that's the balance and the difficult part. You know, sometimes, how do we stand up when, you know, this guy is going to maybe throw me in prison? Right now, you know, I have the best quarters because I've been chosen, right? And if I say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, you know, this guy may throw me in prison. And here, Daniel says that I resolve, he had decided in his mind, but yet at the same time, he respected those who would not understand. And he asked permission, the Bible says. So he went up and talked to the authorities and says, you know, this is what I want to do. Why? Because this is what I believe in. This is what I want to do because this is what I believe in. Let's read on. Verse 9. Now God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel. If you have your Bible, underline God has caused, you know, because that's very important. God has caused the official to show favor and compassion to Daniel, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my Lord and King who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? The king would have my head because of you. Now, Daniel stood up. He says, well, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to honor God. I'm going to open my mouth and say, this is how I'm going to honor God. But then his authorities now afraid. They say, wait a minute, cannot. Because if anything happens to you, it's going to be my head. Right? And so Daniel goes on to say, Daniel, verse 11, then said to the guard whom the chief official appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servant for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance to what you see. So he agreed and he tested them for 10 days. Test. First thing we need to do in order to want to live a life that is honoring to God, we got to first begin up here. We got to first decide, resolve not to defile ourselves. Daniel made up his mind. And so as we come to, you know, we've talked a lot about honor, and we come to the close of our series, we've got to walk away from this honor series and say, yes, I will make up my mind to honor God. I will make up my mind to honor authorities. I'll make up my mind to honor parents. I'll make up my mind to honor one another. Make up our mind. We want to live lives of honor. We have to set that first of all right. And then we have to go on, number two, to live by faith. Now while pressure may come, and we can talk nicely with whoever is, you know, our superior, and says, this is what I want to do, I want to honor God, and, you know, I don't defile myself. And our superior says, no way, man. Our superiors will come down and says, you know, if anything happened, it's me, not you. So, no, I'm not going to let it happen. And what does Daniel do? He says, I'm going to live by faith. Let's exercise some faith. Okay? I'm going to live by faith and you will see what faith does. Let's go through a test. It's 10 days. Test and see. Now, he decides that, you know, it's not just me not gonna defile myself with eating all these quote unquote choice foods, but he's also saying, hey, I'm gonna look better than anybody else. Now, did he know that? I don't know. But he responded by faith to say that you are not gonna get in trouble, nothing's gonna happen to you because you think I'm going to look scrawny, but that's not going to happen. I'm going to exercise faith. And, you know, If you don't believe me, let's test it for 10 days. And you'll see God come and work in our midst. I believe that that's what Daniel was thinking. And so he says, test for 10 days. Exercise faith. You know, God has given us many gifts, each one of us. And with the gifts that God has given us, we will excel in it if we continue to exercise it. But here's the danger, it's a warning, okay? Alright? When we excel in something, people will see it and people will pick it up. Say, hey, good, you're very good in this, whatever that is. I know there are a lot of people who are sports people here. Okay? You do well in your sport and, you know, of course we want to impact people in the sports arena all the way up to the state and to the national level. Sometimes we can say, hey, you're chosen for state team and you're chosen for national team. Why? Because you're good lah. That's why lah. You know, I mean, if you're chosen because you're bad, then something wrong, alright? Because you're good, that's why you're chosen. And here Daniel is chosen because there were some things in him that was excellent. And you know, it's so easy to have this superstar mentality over us. When we are chosen, oh, I'm chosen, you know, let's just, you know, be very rigid about it. And then we fail to understand that God has placed us in that position. If you read the book of Daniel, you see the influence that he has over kings. Why? Because he understood that even as he has chosen, God has placed him there. And so, whatever area that we have, you know, God has placed us in, he has given us gifts. Remember to honor him. So I say to all these sports people and, you know, everybody here, not only sports people, when God elevates us, remember to honor him. Because he has given us that position. And then it may cause us not only to just say, you know, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, you know, I choose to do this, I don't choose to do that. But it will cause us to take one more step to continue to live out faith in our lives, to live by faith. Sometimes it will take us, it may cause us to say, test and see. Test and see. I go to church every Sunday will make me a better player. That's living out faith, man. That's saying, hey, I'm going to skip training because I want to honor God, but hey, nothing's going to change because I will be that, you know, excellent player. And Daniel said, you know, I'm not going to look any different. I'm not going to be scrawny just because I eat vegetables. Something will happen because I choose to live by faith. So determine in our mind, make up our mind, and not only that, but live out faith. Let faith come out when we are caught. When we are pressured, exercise faith. That's Daniel versus the rest of them. In a sense, right? He decided to go one path. Everybody else, or Daniel and his three friends, and everybody else is, you know, whacking all the good food so that they look fit. But if you read on, you know, in fact, he looks better after 10 days. No, after 3 years, really. Exercise faith. The Bible tells us don't conform to the pattern of this world, right? The pattern of this world will try to grab hold of us, suppress us. But it is faith that causes God to begin to work. When we exercise faith, it tells everybody, it tells ourselves that we rely on him. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Now what does acknowledging Him mean? It basically means we are not relying on myself and my understanding and everybody else's understanding. Because the officer says, if you don't eat this food, you will be scrawny. And when that happens, my head will roll. That's the basic general understanding. And Daniel says, no, that's not my understanding. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to exercise faith. I'm going to acknowledge Him. And He is going to be the one that sees me through. Whenever we exercise faith, and you know this already, okay, it puts a smile on God's face, right? Hebrews chapter 11 says, there's no way. It is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith produces blessing. There is a promise. Galatians chapter 3 verse 22 says this, to the believer, there is a promise given by faith to the believer. A promise given. And so we need to, you know, make up our mind, honor the conviction of our heart. We need to exercise faith and we need to live out that testimony. We need to live out that testimony. Let's read on. Verse 15, right? Let's continue from there. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. When you exercise faith, God honors. And God gives a blessing. Alright? And so, verse 15 confirms that they look healthier, better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. Now, for a long time I read this passage, I'm thinking, okay, you know, for 10 days they're not, you know. But if you read and you understand this, they decided, hey, as long as I'm here, this is going to be my stand. This is going to be my stand as long as I'm here. If you read the earlier verses, it says that they were to be set apart for how long? 3 years. Right? 3 years. And then, verse 17, to these four men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. Now, not only were they physically more nourished, not only did they look physically better, but God gave, the next verse says, God gave these four guys knowledge, understanding of all kinds of literature. They were ahead of their class, not only physically, but also in mentally, in understanding and knowledge. And then, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them to the service, the chief officials presented them to Nebuchadnezzar, and the king talked with them and found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in the whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. 10 times, the king says. Greater wisdom. But this is what happened to them. You know. They endured 3 years. Now, for some of us, without the sioba, you know, life is a torture. One meal, no meat, stress. 2 meals, traumatic already. Persecution. Daniel resolved in his mind, first of all, and he exercised faith, right? And he lived out that faith for 3 years. Now, exercising faith is not just, you know, this is what's going to happen. Test and see for 3 years. For 10 days. All right? Let's take that step of faith. Sometimes we stop there, you know. Let's take that step of faith and this is what's going to happen. Come on. 10 days only, but. All right? Just tahan and see God work. But then it went beyond that. He lived out that faith for 3 years. So after 10 days, the chief decided, well, this is good. Good for you, good for me. He removed all the choice food, give them vegetables instead. For the next 3 years. Before they entered to see the king. Living out. Now, we need to ask ourselves this question as well. You know, sometimes it's easy to say, yeah, yeah, yeah. And we stop at, you know, that level. If we are honest with ourselves, you and I, we have said things that we meant, but we cannot pull through. At that point of time, yes, we are dead serious about it, you know. I choose not to defile myself. But then, a little bit more pressure, and then we say this, you know, circumstances are not much choice. I'm under, you know, this authority. You know, my boss will do this to me. You know, or whatever. And then we stop there. Nothing happens to us. Maybe we have a little bit more faith. And then we say, test and see. My God will come through. And we live it out. And for 10 days or whatever period of time, we see God work. And after that, on the 11th day and the 12th day, you're like, oh, carrots again. You're like, oh, raw cabbage again. Huh? Yeah. And then we say, perhaps God will understand. Now, how many of us have said that before? I'm sure God understands. Maybe we don't verbally say it, but we say it in our heart. I'm sure God understands the predicament that I'm in right now. You know, this is, you know, suffering or persecution. So you say that we have to go through. I'm in exile. And then we don't live out that faith that 10 days ago we proclaimed. If we want to honor God with our lives, we want to honor God in life, we've got to take 1, 2, 3 all the way. Or else we will find ourselves in this cycle, you know. Find ourselves getting caught again and saying, oh yeah, 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 I got to, you know, make up my mind. And then the next month we come back and we say, yeah, yeah, I got to make up my mind. And then we fail to say, God, you have to take over, because if you read that passage, God was the one who gave them that gifts in the first place. God was the one who took care of their physique. God was the one who gave them wisdom and understanding. God was the one. Why? Because they chose to live by faith. And they chose to exercise faith, to be that living testimony of faith. And so even as we come to a close, as we look at Daniel as an example, let's ask ourselves, where are we? Where are we at in this whole area? I mean, there are many lessons that we can draw from here, but let's just think about honoring. Let's just think about honoring and say, where are we in this whole area of learning to honor? Have we, number one, made up our mind that we choose to honor God? That we will choose to honor authority, that we will choose to honor our parents, that we will choose to honor one another. Have we made up our mind? There's this phrase that we always say in Hokkien. Gao si ga lai gong. When the time comes, we talk about it. Okay? No commitment. Every time we say that, let's see. We say that. We say, when the time comes, then we discuss. I don't think about it right now. You know, don't worry about it now. You know, let's cross the bridge when it comes. And with all these phrases to say that, let's put aside commitment at this point of time. Now, I don't think that Daniel, at that point of time, at that situation, when the pressure came, he sat down and says, what should I do? I now resolve. It was something that was done way beforehand. Possibly, you know, as he grew up as a young child, he has been learning how to do that. He had already made up his mind before the situation was pressing. We need to learn how to say, right now, I want to make up my mind. Number two, I want to exercise faith. Go beyond that. Number three, I want to live out that faith to be such a testimony, because that was exactly what Daniel was. Everybody in that time, the whole kingdom, because the king already said it, the whole kingdom acknowledged that no one can compare with these four guys. No one. Not in their physique, not in their wisdom. The king says 10 times greater than anyone else. They are 10 times ahead of everybody else. Now God can, and he will bring us to that position if we decide to honor him. If we resolve in our mind, make up our mind. And then if we choose to live by faith, and then we choose to be that testimony. So we need to ask ourselves this. We talked about honor being a command. We need to honor God. We need to live lives that are honoring. What are we to do? What are we to do? What are some of the practical things that we can do? Let me just suggest a few. Number one, exercise obedience. Exercise obedience. And tell ourselves no more excuses. John chapter 14. Jesus says this, 14:15, I think. He says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you love me, you will obey my commands. Right? And if we want to honor God, then we've got to arise and say, God, I want to follow you all the way. I will obey your commands. Begin from right now. Don't start saying, oh, when I'm in exile, caught in a situation, then, you know, that's what I'll open the book of Daniel, read that again, and, you know, tell my superiors, hey, what are God's commands for us today? Specifically, maybe for us as individuals, God has said something over and over and over again into our spirit, into our lives, and we're like, God, you know, one day, gao si ga lai gong. When I cross the bridge, then, you know, when I come to the bridge, then only I'll figure out how to cross it. Right? Learn to obey. Number two, learn to spend time with him. Invite Jesus into our life every day. You know, we live in a world where everything is instant. From Facebook to Instagram. Facebook is, you know, old school right now. Now we have Instagram. Why is Facebook old school? Because it takes too long. You know, Instagram is so much faster right now. Take photos, send immediately, see all your friends' photos. Don't have to log in, log out anymore. You know, don't have to even scroll too long. And the thing is this, you know, there are so many things in this life that we want to share with everybody. Right? We want to share our journeys, our experience. We want to share all the food that we eat, you know, obvious, this Asian syndrome. You have to take photo of food, post it up on Facebook and Instagram. Hey, this one I'm eating, you know. Hey, pause and ask this question. How much of our life do we share with God? The next time you want to take a photo and post it on Instagram, say, hey, God, I want to share this food with you. Never thought of it, right? But God wants to be a part of every area of our life, right? And we are guilty of this. Every single one of us. You know, my hand first one to go up. We put God in our life most when we are in trouble. Huh? God is there. Oh, God, I want to share this with you. What? Share what? Problems. And we say this, when we have good friends, we can share our problems with them, right? Yeah. But can you imagine this? Your best friends are the ones that you only share problems with. You don't share the good stuff with them. You don't share the joys with them. You don't share, hey, you know, exciting thing happened. I went online and suddenly got 1 million in my bank account. Oh, I don't share with my friends. Why? Because we just want to share problems with them. Then we sing the song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Make God every part of our life, every day, in every area. Number 3, understand and know and acknowledge that it's not all about us. It's all about Him. You know, every time we have this all about us, me, my, myself mentality, we leave God out. We fail to honor God every time we think like that. You know, the Bible tells us that one day, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Today, now that we know Him, we've got to start acknowledging Jesus is Lord. We've got to start saying that God, it's all about you. Daniel, going in captivity, says it's all about you. He being chosen says, God, it's all about you. Because you are the one who has given me this gift. And then that leads us to the next thing, right? Don't take credit. Give God the credit. It's so easy to say, I'm handsome. It's so easy to say, yeah, I've got the skills, that's why I'm chosen. So easy to say that. Give God the credit for what He has done. And you read that first portion of the book of Daniel. It says, God did this. God did this. God did this. God preserved them physically. In fact, God made them better physically. God gave them wisdom. God gave them, elevated them to that place of honor. God did it. So easy to say, I train very hard. So easy to say, I work very hard. I put, you know, 20 hours a day to get this job done. So easy. But when the job is done, say, God, thank you. When the job is done, say, God, it's all about you because you helped me pull through the last 20 hours to get this job done. These are the little practical things that we need to inculcate in our life daily. When we do that, we learn how to place honor before God. Another practical thing, I've been reading a lot about discipleship making. And you know, that's God's commission to each and every one of us. The Great Commission, we call it. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey all things that I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the end of the age. That's God's charge to us. And I started off by saying, hey, you want to do something practical? Learn to obey Him. And here's the final practical thing. I mean, there's lots that we can talk about. But here's the other thing, the final thing that I want to say. You know, God has called us to go make disciples. I ask myself, hey, am I honoring God by making disciples? Guilty. Shake head. A lot of times, I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we go through this whole process of Christian, quote-unquote, activities. But then, are we really making disciples? Have we taken the time to say, hey, I want to make disciples? Why? Because God commanded us. Because I want to obey God. I want to honor God in that one command that He gave each and every one of us before He left. Go and make disciples. You know, there are many aspects that we can look into. There are many aspects that challenge us in terms of honoring. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, right, let your light shine before all men. Why? So that they may see your good deeds and praise the Father in heaven. What is that? That's living that life of honor, of witness, of testimony. That's evangelism. And so we conclude this series by asking ourselves, how are we living a life of honor? Have we began right here and said, you know, I want to honor God? Have we taken steps to say, I want to exercise faith? Even in the practical stuff, I want to exercise faith. Without faith, impossible to please God. You know, sometimes we can go through the routine, and you have heard me say this over and over again. You know, sometimes we read the Bible and God is not pleased. He's not pleased at the fact that we read the Bible. You know what I'm talking about? Why? Because we don't exercise faith. Because when you read the Bible, and when we exercise faith, when we read the Bible, something must happen. But when we read the Bible close, walk out as if, you know, nothing happened. Now we look in the mirror, look at ourselves. James tells us this, right? And then we walk away, forget everything. God's not pleased. Honoring. Says, God, I want to exercise faith. I want to include you in everything that I do. Because it's all about you. It's not about me. Every single thing. Where I am today, what I'm doing today, is because of you. It's all about you. And I have to consciously remind myself, first of all, of that fact. Because when we don't remind ourselves of that fact, you know what happens? The flesh takes over. And then it becomes me and mine. You know, I work hard and this is where I am today because of, you know, all the work that I've done. Or some of us, you know, a little bit more humble. We don't say because of all the work that I've done. We say this because of the circumstances that I'm in. You know, you put it in a nice way and, you know, somehow or other, you know, these circumstances fall into place and here I am. Where's God? Can we say, God, I want to honor you. I want to follow you. I want to model after Jesus because He came to make disciples, right? I want to make disciples. And I want to ask this question, what would Jesus do? Right? You know, sometimes this phrase itself has been so, you know, taken so loosely. But really, if you think about it, what would God do given that situation? What would He want us to do so that He is pleased? What would He want us to do so that He is honored? Let's bow our heads right now. As our heads are bowed, let's ask the Lord to search our hearts right now and say, God, how do you want me to honor you? How have I dishonored you? Lord, I've asked for forgiveness because many times, I fail to make up my mind. And I've lived the life of que sera, sera, whatever will be. I have not resolved in my mind to honor you. Father, I ask for your forgiveness because there are times, many times in fact, that I failed to exercise faith. Lord, that I failed to be that testimony that you have called me to be. I've taken things upon myself, honored myself above you, Forgive me, Lord. Right now, ask God to dig out certain areas in our life. Open certain doors that have been closed for a long time, perhaps. And God says, here, give this to me. Honor me with this. Because I gave it to you. And sometimes we look at our lives at some of the things that God is putting His finger on, and we look and we evaluate it from our perspective. And we say, but God, not good enough. How about you make it better first? And God says, I want it now. Everything that God has given to us, we need to give it back to Him and say, God, I want to honor you. I want to honor you. Would you open every door of your heart right now and say, Jesus, come in. Come in. Father, minister to our spirit, minister to our hearts right now. Cause us to see you in every area of our life. Our work, our family. Oh, family is a tough one. The Lord is saying right now to some of us here, because we are under our parents, we have so easily conformed. And it's like Daniel saying, okay, I'll eat whatever you give me. I'll do whatever you say. And God is saying to you right now, some of us, I don't know who you are, but you know this. The Lord is saying to you right now, I want you to honor me in your family. I want you to honor me in front of your parents. And you will see me work in your life. I want you to exercise faith. You will see me work. Holy Spirit, come. Touch each one of us. Touch each one of us, we pray. Come and touch our lives. Right now. Minister to our hearts. Yes, Lord. We echo the words of this song. I'm sorry, Lord, for that thing. That thing which is, I've made it. So many times we've said it. We're sorry, Lord. We come before you right now. And we want to give you the glory. Because it's all about you. You are the one who has made us who we are today, placed us where we are today. And we want to honor you, Lord. We want to honor you with every single detail. Teach us, Lord, one step at a time. Lord, there are so many areas that we have failed. We confess it before you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you teach us one step at a time. To give you honor in all these areas. Father, I pray your blessing upon your people right now. Your people across this room. Lord, that your presence will be with us. Lord, faith will arise in our hearts. That your grace and your peace will go before us. As we seek to give you honor in all that we do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.